I was noticing as the children were sprinting to the floor to sit down for the children's sermon, I've yet to see any of our adult members sprint from the parking lot into church. So y'all are going to have to take a lesson from the kids. They are more excited to be up here than I think all of you are here. And I also need to add to my evangelistic tool bag when I'm telling people that they could escape the fires of hell. I need to also add that you won't get ant bites anymore. I've been leaving a lot on the table in my gospel proclamation. Our passage this morning is from the book of Proverbs chapter 3. We're gonna look together this morning at verse 1 through verse 23. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open it up to Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Hear God's word. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul, adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word. It is wisdom for us this morning that we desperately need. We know that your word is inerrant and infallible, and that it's given to us for our teaching, for our correction, for our reproving, for our training in righteousness, that we may be well equipped. So, Father, would you be pleased to well equip us this morning from your word? Would you forgive the sins of the preacher, which are many, but help me to make much of Christ? Cause your word to go forth with great power and accomplish among your people that which you desire for it to accomplish, for our good and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue our study of the book of Proverbs, we come to chapter 3 this morning, and as we consider it together, I want to remind us again what to make of the wisdom contained in this book. In this book, God is about the business of giving us wisdom. He desires to make us wise, and he's not only going to, in a number of ways, tell us why we ought to be wise. He's going to call us to love and treasure wisdom. He's going to define for us what wisdom is and what benefits it has for us. And likewise, God is going to depict for us the fate of the fool. He's going to show us who the foolish are and what they do. And he's not going to pull any punches or dial down the intensity of his counsel to make what he's got to say easier to hear. In all of these pictures and examples, he's going to try to help us love and treasure wisdom. One of the challenges of preaching through the book of Proverbs is that because, in a sense, every chapter is about wisdom, it's hard for the chapter 2 sermon to sound different than the chapter 1 sermon. And it makes it hard for the chapter 3 sermon to sound different than chapter 1 and chapter 2. In fact, I should have just read last week's sermon and see if anybody would even notice. But what I've become convinced of while wrestling with that challenge is that it isn't really a challenge. Wisdom is repetitive. A good parent doesn't just instruct their child about something one time. Rather, they impart wisdom and insight repeatedly, saying what they have to say in numerous ways and numerous times. Imagine that you have a garden. How often does your garden need watering? Once a week? Monthly? Quarterly? Yearly? Whenever you happen to think about it? Of course not. Gardens require watering daily. Daily maintenance. We likewise need these calls to wisdom from God drilled into our thick skulls, because like a garden that needs watering every day, we need these constant reminders that we need wisdom from God. Imagine you just bought a brand new pontoon boat for the low price of $40,000. And you're going to take it out on Lake Hamilton for a pleasant cruise around the lake. And imagine that the engineer who both designed the engine and built the boat is going to join you on your inaugural cruise. And imagine that as he's trying to tell you what grade of gasoline will work best in your boat, you begin to explain to the engineer that you think that gas is too expensive, and so you've decided to put water in the gas tank. He politely protests, but you explain to him that you are a free thinker and you march to the beat of your own drum. So he needs to just keep his opinions to himself so that you can enjoy a pleasant cruise on the lake without him butting in. How long would your cruise last? And how pleasant would it be? Beloved, this is the world we live in today. Our unbelieving world recoils at truth. Our unbelieving world calls truth too narrow, too restrictive, too oppressive. Our unbelieving world wants to break free from the shackles of old-fashioned ideas and explore new ways to live. And as such, our unbelieving world is like a surly, spoiled child that says to its parents or teacher, "You're not the boss of me." But the boat designer tells you that get to use gasoline and not water. The boat designer who does that isn't trying to restrict you. He's trying to liberate you from the shackles of your own ignorance. He's trying to make you wise. He's trying to maximize your enjoyment of this boat. As we consider this chapter this morning, we're going to explore God's wisdom for us and how in our sin we think that we know better. And how in our sin we also are pouring water in our gas tank because we, like Frank Sinatra, want to do it our way. So this morning we're going to look at don't misplace or leave home without wisdom. That's verses 1 through 4. We're going to look at the foolishness that our fallen minds are predisposed to in verses 5 through 18. And we're going to look at wisdom as how God designed the world in verses 19 to 23. Look there at the first four verses. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." One of the first ruling elders at this church, one of the founding members of this church, was Lynn Miller's husband, Tim Miller. Tim has gone to be with the Lord over a decade ago. And I had the pleasure of getting to know Tim when I first came here, just as a member of this congregation. And if you knew him, Tim was quite a character and a jack of all trades, and he was a very wise man. And one of my favorite things that Tim said was in response to if you asked him if he had his pocket knife on him. And Tim, who was a lifelong Boy Scout, would say, if you said, "Tim, do you have a pocket knife on you?" He would say, "I've got my pants on, don't I?" So I have said that at our house. If my wife asks me, "I have my pocket knife," I say, "I have my pants on, don't I?" Tim, because he was a man's man, believed that if you were a man, you had your pants on, you needed to have a pocket knife in your pocket. Likewise, the wisdom of Proverbs is also a wisdom that we're called to always have on us, to never leave home without it. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. When we see the phrase, "keep my commandments," we should see here that keeping is not just speaking of constant obedience, but it's of treasuring, not losing it, not forgetting it, not misplacing it, not abandoning it. If in verse 1, the opposite of forgetting a teaching is keeping it. And verses 3 and 4 are an example of Hebrew parallelism. Verses 1 and 2 are saying the same thing as verses 3 and 4, but with different words. If Hebrews 1 and 2 speak of not forgetting these commandments because they'll add length of days to your life, then consider how 3 and 4 are saying the same thing. Verse 3 is a restatement of verse 1. Look at it. "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Don't just tie a string around your finger or tattoo it on your arm. Don't just write it down and stick it on a sticky note on your bathroom mirror to see every morning. Rather, write it on the tablet of your heart. Internalize it. Make this wisdom a part of who you are. Take it into yourself. Life will be better. Life is hard, and life is harder if you're a fool. Life will be better if you are wise. Every good parent knows this. Every good parent gives their son or daughter good counsel that they know will make their life longer, happier, more fulfilling, and rich. And that's what both 2 and 4 are saying. Verse 2, "For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." In verse 4, "So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Life is hard, and life is even harder if you are a fool. But foolishness is what our fallen minds are predisposed to. Look at verse 5, trust 5 through 8. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment for your bones." One of the lessons that we're going to see repeated over and over and over throughout the pages of Proverbs is that the wisdom that we need doesn't come from within ourselves. Our own fleshly wisdom is broken. Our unbelieving world's wisdom is counter to the wisdom that God gives. Let's remember that in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees that are mentioned by name. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they sinned by eating of it, and they believed the lie of the devil that this tree's fruit would make them like God, that it would make them wise. Genesis 3 tells us, this is the serpent speaking to the woman. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Well, no, God did not say you should not eat of any tree in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and that they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What was Eve pursuing? She was pursuing, you can see it there, a wisdom apart from God. A wisdom independent of God. She believed the lie that she could be like God. She believed the lie that she could obtain wisdom through disobedience. So our first parents, Adam and Eve, planted within their bellies the seed-bearing fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and as such, we, to this day, are governed by our own bellies. Our knowledge of what is ultimately good and evil in our sin is rooted not in God's Word, but in our own subjective opinions. We believe that we can find truth by following our own heart, our own guts, living our own truth, and we've become wise in our own eyes. So Proverbs comes along to people like you and I and says, don't lean on your own understanding. Why? Because it's broken. It's askew. Don't be wise in your own eyes. When we get to chapter 16, it's going to be said more explicitly. Chapter 16 is going to say, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. But our minds and our hearts are corrupted by our own sin. We think wisdom can be found by looking within ourselves. Verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your path. And verse 9 and 10 give us an example of one of the ways that we often fail to acknowledge God, and that is with our wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. When we tithe, we are acknowledging, but all we have comes from God. He promises to give us all that we need. And again, this runs counter to our sinful hearts. Our sinful heart says, hoard it. Keep it for yourself. You made it, you keep it. But acknowledging God in all of our ways means giving back to God the first fruits of what He has given us. Verse 11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, and as a father, the son in whom He delights. Have you ever tried to give cough medicine to a toddler? What do they want to do? They want to spit it out. It doesn't taste good. I already feel bad. Why are you giving me stuff that tastes bad? That's the toddler's logic. I feel terrible, and now you're giving me terrible tasting things. So the toddler, leaning on their own understanding, spits it out. Although we are adults now and we have learned to swallow bad-tasting cough medicine, we can be just as childish as it relates to the Lord's discipline. And we're wise to remember the discipline, the Proverbs tell us, is a loving act of God. It is God's kindness to us that He doesn't want to leave us in our foolishness. If you saw your son or daughter playing in the street while you're sitting on the porch, and you couldn't be bothered to warn them, to grab them, to move them out of the way, to do everything in your power to intervene, you would show yourself to be a parent who didn't love your child. Right? Beloved, this is our world right now. The moral compass of our world in 2023 says just the opposite. If you love someone, you will never tell them that what they are doing is wrong. You'll only affirm. You'll never say anything to anyone that would ever make them feel bad about anything. How dare you? You're shaming me. The only absolute truth in our unbelieving world is that there are no absolute truths. This is why we desperately need wisdom. Blessed is the one, verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more, this is the metaphor of using wisdom as a woman here, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare to her. You hear that? What that's getting at is that there's the stuff that we desire, and it's not as good as what God wants to give us. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Did you see it? The tree of life. We need the fruit of the tree of life. As the cure for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that has so corrupted our thinking. We need it more than we need silver. We need it more than we need gold. We need it more than we need precious jewels. Apart from the wisdom of God, we are left with the wisdom of the world, and it cannot save. It will leave us in the street to be hit by a car. It will convince us that our boat can run on water. Oh, the wisdom of this world might allow us to get material blessings. We might get silver. We might get gold. We might get precious jewels. We might get the applause of men. But we'll find that all the riches and all the applause and all the things that this world can give will not fulfill us. It will not matter on the day of judgment, and we cannot take it into eternity. You'll never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 8, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Wisdom is not only what we need, it's actually how God designed the world. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When we learn wisdom, we're learning how God made the world. This is why the analogy of the engineer in the boat with you saying, hey, change the oil. Put gasoline and not water in. Wisdom is telling us how the world that God designed is supposed to function. The reason that Proverbs can promise flourishing when we follow the wisdom of this God, of God is because verse 19 tells us that wisdom is how God made the world. You see that? Verse 19. Wisdom is how He made it. In other words, when we learn the wisdom of God, we are swimming with the tide, not against it. The maker of the engine knows what the boat needs. And the maker of our world knows our very of our world and our very souls knows what works best. Frank Sinatra can sing, I did it my way, but Proverbs sings, don't do it your way. There's a way that's your way, and it leads to death. Your way is taking the batteries out of the smoke detector to put them in the television remote. Your way is a piece of black electrical tape over the check engine light. Your way is the way of death. We need a wisdom that is not of ourselves. There's a question that you likely have wondered. Is this wisdom that we need practical wisdom, like an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Or is this spiritual? Is this the wisdom that I need just to get to heaven? Or is this the wisdom I need to make my life better day to day? And the answer is yes. It is both of those things. This is wisdom that will help us tomorrow, and this is wisdom that will help us on Judgment Day. Beloved, because this wisdom is ultimately Christ. Christ is this wisdom incarnate. Verse 19 says, by wisdom He made the world. And John 1 tells us that Jesus made the world. Colossians tells us that all the wisdom and understanding is hidden in Jesus. If you want wisdom, if you want understanding, get Jesus. Colossians 3, Paul tells the church at Colossae, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance and understanding the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The book of Proverbs became a person, and it dwelt among us. Do you want wisdom? Do you want knowledge? Do you want understanding? All of that is found in Christ. When we follow the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 3, however poorly we do it, we are still imitating Christ because He's wisdom. When I have Christ, I have the days and I have the length of my days and years added because I have eternal life. The book of Proverbs promises peace with God. I get that through Christ. In Christ, I have His steadfast love and faithfulness that will never forsake me. Because of Christ, I have favor with God. Because of His perfect favor with His heavenly Father, it has been gifted to me. Christ is more valuable than silver or gold, but He was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He was treated as someone of very little value. On the cross, Christ was despised. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He was treated as worthless. Not because He deserved it, not because of His sin, but because of ours. The discipline that our sins deserve would indeed crush us. But instead, on the cross, God the Father laid the chastisement that we deserve on Christ. Isaiah 53 says it this way, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with His wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned everyone to his own way. There's a way that seems right to a man, and the end leads to destruction. The gospel tells us that the destruction that our ways deserve fell on Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Because wisdom incarnate was crushed on the cross, we who belong to Him can receive what verse 8 says, healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Because of Christ, we are raised from death to life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your Son, His wisdom incarnate. He created the world. There's not anything made that was not made by Him. So He knows what's best. Father, would you write the eternal truth of your word on the fleshy tablets of our hearts? Proverbs 3 tells us to write this wisdom on our hearts, and we come before you in our sin and confess, only you can write something on our heart. But we believe the promise of the gospel that in Christ we have a new heart, a heart that loves wisdom, a heart that doesn't want to be a fool. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us well enough to know the wisdom that we need, and that you give it to us in your word, and you give it to us in your Son. Would you prepare our hearts to come to your table? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.